Okay, Psalm chapter 19 in your Bibles. Page 607 in your Schofield Bible, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19, page 607, verses 1 through 6. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their loin is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for today. Thank you for this particular service. There's no service of the past or no service of the future that can be exactly as this one. And this one, of course, is specially needed by all who are here, and in a particular way to some. Open every heart and mind, and bless, we pray with power, our preacher, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Class, didn't he?
I want to talk to you a while this morning on the subject, your need is his proof. Your need is his proof. We read a while ago, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. And I want to speak this morning on this subject, your need is his proof. I'm a little tired of people thinking they're educated because they don't believe in God. I'm a little tired of people thinking they're a little above God-fearing people because they are so educated they don't believe in God. I wish I had the entire educational community this morning to hear what I'm going to say as I speak on the subject, your need is his proof. Our Father, bless the message today. Speak to us and give us a great delight in our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are two ways that man learns. One of those ways is by experience. The second of those ways is by intuition. The first is a science. But the second, the intuition, learning by intuition, is just as real as is the scientific. No one ever teaches or can teach a beaver how to construct a dam across a stream. There's no school where beavers can enroll to learn how to build a dam. Only men have to do that to learn how to do it. The beaver does it intuitively. Here I go using those big words again. Don't know what it means, but I read it in a book this week, and I wanted you to know I knew how to pronounce it. I'll learn between now and next week what it means. But the beaver, by intuition, constructs the dam across the stream. Nobody teaches a bird how to build its nest. Nobody teaches birds how to migrate with the seasons, or the bee how to build a comb just to store honey. You see, there's something instinctively that teaches us, as well as does experience teach us. Now, science is learning by experience. And certainly nobody wants to contradict the fact that we do learn by experience, and scientific experiences teach us, and nobody wants to disprove that. But it seems that when someone gets the second, or gets the scientific learning, he doesn't want to take the intuitive learning anymore. It seems like that one detracts from another. But the honest, simple truth is, like it or not, believe it or not, there are two ways that men learn. One is by experience, and the other is by intuition. God, and this is the most important statement I'm going to make, God never creates an intuitive appetite without creating its fulfillment. Let me say it again. God never creates an intuitive appetite without creating its fulfillment. God created in you a thirst. That is, in you were thirsty before you knew how to get thirsty. Nobody ever taught you how to get thirsty. You didn't go to school and learn 7 steps to getting thirsty. You're born thirsty. And it's an intuition, something you learn by intuition. Let me say this. Just as sure as God gave you that appetite, God also provided water on this earth for the fulfillment of that appetite. Because, as I said a while ago, God never creates an intuitive appetite without creating its fulfillment. Illustration. There is an intuitive appetite for a man called hunger. God has not only given us that appetite, but God would not be a just God and a holy God and a righteous God if he gave us appetites that were not fulfilled. Did you know that's one of the most tragic things about hell? The Bible teaches that in hell you still lust, but there's no fulfillment of that lust. Bible says that in hell, people who on earth were bound by sensuality will still be bound by sensuous appetites, but there will be no fulfillment of those appetites. If you on earth were bound with the appetite for liquor and you die and go to hell, the Bible says that in hell you will still have an appetite for liquor, but you'll have no fulfillment of that appetite. But God never creates an appetite without creating the fulfillment for the appetite. So God gave us the appetite of hunger. Now, to feel that hunger, God gave us pizza and Big Macs and banana splits and so forth. But God filled the appetite. Now, you listen to me. Anybody that knows anything about science, even, ought to know that every appetite that God has given to man, an intuitive appetite. You didn't have to learn to get hungry. You tried to find your mother's breast the first hour you were born, the first few minutes you were born. Why? Because there was an appetite created by intuition and instinct in your body, and God, in his mercy, gave us food to fulfill and satisfy that appetite. Let's take the matter of weariness. Man has a desire, intuitive desire, for rest. And God is in his marvelous wisdom created for us sleep. So, somebody asked Dr. Bill Rice one time, said, all you do eat? No, I don't eat. It's not all this. I sleep sometime too. But I'm saying that God gave us the appetite of thirst, and God gave us the fulfillment of that appetite, and God gave us the appetite of hunger, and God gave us the fulfillment of that appetite, and God gave us the appetite of weariness, and God gives us the fulfillment of that appetite. Now, if God does that in those appetites, then why would not God give us the fulfillment for every other appetite that man has? Illustration. The appetite that man has for a God. There has never been a tribe discovered in the history of mankind that did not believe in God. Men are not born atheist. They're taught to be atheist. Intuitively, man believes in God. You go to the shores of the Nile River, and the person there that knows nothing about the Bible will be bowing down to worship the Nile River. He may even be throwing his little baby into the Nile River to the mouths of the hungry crocodiles as an appeasement to his God. You may go to the depths of the jungles of Africa. You'll find a man carving something. What's he doing? He's making himself a god. I say it again. There's never been a tribe, regardless of how remote, found in the history of mankind that did not by instinct believe in a god. And by the way, that's one of the main reasons I believe in God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Say, prove God to me. Look up and you'll have a proof of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. How do you prove God? Look up. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Open your ears. Day and the day utter speech. And night and the night showeth knowledge. I believe in God because the same way I believe in water. I believe in God the same way I believe in thirst. God gave man an intuitive appetite of thirst, and God gave man water to fill that appetite. God gave man an intuitive appetite for food, and God gave man food to fill that appetite. God gave to man an intuitive appetite for rest, and God gave to man sleep. And God gave to man an intuitive appetite. Listen, you won't find people that don't believe in God in the jungles, the savages of South Africa. You won't find in the remote places in the jungles of South America. You won't find folks that don't believe in God. You find them at the University of Chicago. The jungles of the University of Chicago. Why? Because man is not by nature an atheist. Man must be taught and trained. And here's the reason why. Because there are two ways to learn. And the fellow University of Chicago that says there's no God, he has been taught by experience. He only takes that one way of learning by experience. And he says there's no other way to learn. And yet he goes ahead and eats when he's hungry and drinks when he's thirsty and sleeps when he's tired. He's living a lie. He does believe in intuitive appetites. He does believe that God gave an appetite that is fulfilled by water. God gave an appetite that is fulfilled by food. God gave an appetite that is fulfilled by sleep. And God gave an appetite that is fulfilled by Jesus. God is believed a God, some God. It may be a river. It may be a stick. It may be a sacred animal. But men, by intuition, believe in God. Then why don't men accept it? Because they've been uneducated. See, you have to uneducate man to make him not believe in God. Because by nature, he believes in a God. Belief in God is intuitive, but you tamper with him, and you get so wrapped up in the one. Look, the two savages. There's the savage in the jungle that won't take learning by experience. There's the savage in the university that won't take learning by intuition. Both are savages. They will only accept learning in one way, but there are two ways to learn. You learn by experience, and you learn by intuition, just like the bird learns to fly, and the bird goes south in the wintertime, and the bird builds its nest, and the beaver builds its dam. God Almighty has placed into animal life and also human life certain instincts. We believe because we're alive. And man believes in God because he's alive. Illustration. Man by instinct not only believes in God, but man by instinct wants to see that God. Man wants to have a God, but man must see that God. A man believes in God, he builds a stick. A man believes in God, he gets in a sacred cow. A man believes in God, he looks at a river. A man believes in God, he points to the sun. A man believes in God, he points to the moon. A man believes in God, he points to a stone. A man believes in God, he points to a piece of wood. A man believes in a God, he points to a serpent. A man believes in a God, he points to a frog. Why? Because there's something inside of man. Him and Al, there's something inside of man that makes man want to see his God. As much instinct in man as his thirst. It's as much an intuitive appetite as his hunger. It's as much intuitive appetite as being weary. Man, by instinct, believes in God. I'll say it again. Say it without any fear, without any hesitation. I'll say it again. You people that sit here this morning that think that fundamentalists are old-fashioned bigots, and we're not very educated, and you don't believe in a God simply because you cannot put him in a test tube somewhere, but you eat before you proved anything. God gave you an appetite
for food and food to fill the appetite. God gives you an appetite for water and water to fulfill the appetite. And God has given to every living man an appetite for God. And hallelujah, God gave us the fulfillment of that appetite. But there's also that appetite that man has, as I said, not only to have a God, but to see his God. Let me tell you a story. One day a little woman, little Jewish maid, before she ever had sex with a man, got pregnant. An angel came and told her that that which was conceived in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The angel said to Joseph, "Fear not to take Mary to thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost of the Holy Ghost." In due season, in Bethlehem, in the manger, that woman gave birth to that little baby. A virgin woman gave birth to that little baby. Only person ever born that was born of a virgin mother. That baby lived for 33 years. Never sinned one time. Never said a thing he shouldn't have said. Never did a thing he shouldn't have done. Never took a thing he shouldn't have taken. Never went to a place he shouldn't have gone. But after 33 years, he went to a cross. And on that cross, he took upon himself the sins of all mankind. And on that cross, he bore in his own body our sins as our substitute, as our sacrifice, as our atonement, as our propitiation. He took my place. If you want to see God, look to Calvary. If you want to see God, look to Jesus. Let me tell you why I believe in God. Same reason I believe in water. Same reason I believe in food. Same reason I believe in sleep. God would not have given me a thirst without giving me water. Not given me a hunger without giving me food. He would not have given me weariness without giving me sleep. And God would not place in my breast a desire to know God without giving me a God. Don't you feel inferior to these atheist nuts in these universities? Just a different type of paganism. A pagan that lives in the jungle somewhere, looks up and sees the moon and says, "I believe a God made that." He is learning by intuition. He refuses to accept what the educator has learned by experience. That's why he's pagan. The educator refuses to accept what the person in the jungle has accepted by intuition. He only takes what is learned by experience, and that's why he's pagan. And the PhD who sits in the classroom and shakes the faith of our boys and girls in the living existence of a true and a living God is as pagan as a heathen in a jungle somewhere. There's something in the inside of man that's called thirst. God gives water to fulfill it. There's something in the inside of man called hunger. God gives bread and food to fulfill it. There's something in the inside of man called weariness, and God gives sleep to fulfill it. There's something in the inside of man that makes him want his God. And God gave us Jesus to fulfill it. It's also illustration. There's something inside of man that believes in right and wrong. There's something on the inside of man, instinctively, believes in right and wrong. There's something on the inside of man, and you go to anywhere you want to go in the world, and you'll find that the savage tribes in the most remote places, the islands of the sea, believe in a sacrifice for sin. It may be they'll offer a sacrifice of a pig. It may be they'll offer the sacrifice of a lamb. It may be they'll offer the sacrifice of a cow. But there's something innate in man that makes him want a sacrifice. Now, I tell you, 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, John the Baptist said as he came, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was our sacrifice. Once again, God's satisfying the appetite that God creates. There's another something that man by intuition wants, and that's life after death. By nature, man wants to live after death. Something else. Man wants comfort by intuition. He wants to be comforted. Now, follow me carefully. If man is thirsty and God gives him water, if man is hungry and God gives him food, if man is weary and God gives him sleep, then why shouldn't God give man the fulfillment of his need for a God? Man by nature, untampered with, believes in God. Man by nature, untampered with, believes in right and wrong. Man by nature, untampered with, believes in sacrifice for sin. Man by nature, untampered with, believes in life after death. Man by nature, untampered with, believes that he needs somebody to comfort him and someone to understand. God did fulfill man's appetite. Just as God gave me an appetite for water. He made me thirsty, but he gave me water to satisfy that thirst. He made me hungry, but he gave me food to satisfy that hunger. He made me weary, but he gave me sleep to satisfy that weariness. Praise God, he gave me Jesus to satisfy my desire for God himself. There's an appetite on the inside of me that makes me want God. And God gave me Jesus. There's an appetite on the inside of me that makes me want to see God. And that's Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There's an appetite on the inside of me that makes me want to have a sacrifice. And Jesus is my sacrifice. There's an appetite on the inside of me that makes me want life after death. And John 14, 1 through 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am, there you be also." Let me tell you something. God never in this world creates an appetite in man that God does not give a fulfillment to. And that's what Jesus is all about. God creates an appetite in me for someone to understand. And that's why Jesus came and lived for 33 years a homesickness away from the Father. That's why he said goodbye to heaven's glory and came to earth so he could understand. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm hungry, he says, "I understand, I was hungry too." When I'm tired, he said, "I understand, I was tired too." When I'm lonely, he says, "I understand, I was lonely too." Now listen carefully. Education is to add experience to that intuition. It is savagery to reject either. Education is to know and accept both. I said there are two ways that man learns. One is by experience. That's science. But there's a second way that man learns. And that is by intuition. And God has given me an intuition to know himself. And God has given me Jesus to fulfill that intuition. I get thirsty, I drink water. I get hungry, I eat. God never gives a man an appetite that he does not give a satisfaction to. And this morning you have an appetite in your breast. Unless you've been tampered with. Some professor in some university may have tampered with you and taken, but by nature you have an appetite in your breast. You go to any tribe in any jungle in the whole world, if that tribe hasn't been tampered with, they got themselves a god somewhere. I've been to the jungles. I said the jungles are backwoods of Alaska. Way up in a place called Ramparts, Alaska. Back where they have no roads that lead there, and the only way they can get out of there is by river, by homemade boat or raft on a river. And in Ramparts, Alaska, they offer animals as a sacrifice. There's something inside of man that says, "I'm a sinner.
There's something inside of man that says, because I'm a sinner, I need a sacrifice. And I point you this morning to the Lamb of God. Your need is His proof. And if you look this morning to Jesus Christ, God's sacrifice for your sin, God will make you His child. Write your name in heaven. Wash your sins away. And you can go to heaven when you die. Your need is His proof. Father, bless, I pray today, the simple and yet wonderful message of grace that's gone forth from this pulpit. Bless, I pray, the invitation. I pray that men, women, boys, and girls that have never said yes to Christ shall do so today. Please hear my prayer. Our heads are bowed.